Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
And I think, whisper it, I think that's what really upsets the traditional boxing people, is how good and decent this guy is.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Cavan's nickname, the Breffni County, if heaven existed on earth, it would be Cavan. With common surnames, Riley, Brady, Lynch, McCabe, Clark, Farrelly, Maguire, Quinn, Sheridan, yeah, Galligan, and Smith, but there's only one DSN, Dara Smith Nocton. Dara, good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
Are you well?
Yeah.
I think you well, that comment, did it? Because it reminded you of home.
It did, yeah.
The time for home. Mm-hmm.
So the most successful Irish surnames out there, by the way.
Most Brady, successful like, Riley, in terms of how they
sport,
got in life.
Sport.
All right.
Brady and Riley.
Tom Brady.
Now, do you know when I was mentioning all those surnames, would you know a person with the surname in Cavan?
I would. Yeah.
So Riley,
enough, yeah.
Riley, yes.
You could just name Cavan players with all of them.
Exactly, yeah. You know, you probably could.
Brady, Lynch, McCabe, Clark, Farrelly, Maguire.
Yeah.
All of these names familiar to you. All right, well, you're very welcome.
Ian Clark, Paddy Lynch. All that's Paul Brady's the handballer, isn't he?
That's right, yeah. Paul Brady, yeah. Yeah, there's loads there now. There's loads to get stuck into there.
Now,
we have 2 hours to do it.
That's plenty. Plenty for the show. Mm. That's good. Now, if you Google page 2 of Shane Hannon, see the world with tourism.
I thought you were going to get me, maybe guess the Monaghan names.
Shane Hannon was born in Bermuda and spent his early years in Barbados before moving to his parents' native Ireland at 10 years of age.
Fake news.
Wow. There's another one out there.
I was born in Newry. And Daisy Hill Hospital in Newry,
yes.
Stupid. Hard to say what, Shane Hannon. And then there was an ellipsis. That was a crappy quiz with Mick McCarthy.
Okay. Can't remember it, but yeah.
And
What's the surnames of Monaghan or McKenna?
McKenna's
every second person is called McKenna. Yeah.
A lot of McKennas. And
Shane M. Hannon.
Not me.
From Blank Rome LLP.
So I come far down the list, basically, is what you're telling me.
Well, that is page 2, to be fair. Mm. Wait for page 3.
What? Oh.
Common names in Monaghan. McKenna?
Yep.
McMahon?
That was the first two I said, yep.
McCabe? Duffy?
Yep.
And Hughes?
Oh, plenty of Hughes's.
Hughes, yeah. McKenna is funny, though, isn't it? Because they've started... So each McKenna family has like a name for their family because there's just too many of them.
In Monaghan, you'd have the Fighting McKennas, the Oiney McKennas, the Pathers,
the Butch.
Butch, yeah. Like there's a lot of nicknames to differentiate between families.
I'll give you another good surname, will I?
Go on.
Tatsunami. What?
Oh.
Sorry, yeah, we got distracted by names, but Tatsunami, what a man.
For anyone.
Awesome man.
Anyone to watch this?
Should we play it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's play it and let's chat off it, Dara. Good shout. Listen to this. Watch this. Oh, yeah. Look, what a happy man.
Moves. Look at the glasses. Look at the dance. What a buzz.
He sticks with it as well. Like, the crowd wasn't totally into it at the very start, but they really get behind him there.
Resistance.
Yeah. All you have to do is keep at it. You know, he's everyone's dad.
Yeah.
At a party.
Dad by morning, fix your computer in the afternoon, darts at night.
Mm-hmm. Your dad at the wedding after his fourth Smithwick's.
Yeah. That was Mitsuhiko Tatsunami, who won the first set against Michael van Gerwen last night, the World Darts Championship. It would have been van Gerwen's first round exit since 2011. Mm. And it looked like it could have been going that way at one point when Tatsunami nearly took the second set. You boys were enthralled here.
Yeah. Sliding doors moment.
Unbelievable.
There.
Yeah.
3-1, van Gerwen eventually won. He gave the kudos in abundance to Tatsunami afterwards.
He was scraping over the line a little bit, van Gerwen, in the early parts. He kind of got into it a little bit, but was far from his imperious best. He won one of the sets on a double two, and the amount of missed doubles he had was something serious. Peter Wright said during the week, his eyes were going, that van Gerwen's eyes were going. Mm. Gerwen had to reference it after the match and said, "My eyes are absolutely fine." But you would have sworn during the game that his eyes were going. That looks well, Colin, by the way. But a new cult hero at the darts. And Ali Pally has created a few of them this week, but I hadn't heard of Tatsunami before the game. I hadn't, I'll be honest. And that's what happens to the darts. Some years you're like, one of your favourite sports people is born. And what a man. And like, he looked, for all intents and purposes, like he could go on and win it at different points in the match, maybe in the third set particularly, but it just wasn't to be, and he missed chances, in fairness, to make it 2-2 and to push on. It just wasn't to be, but he pushed one of the greatest players in the world all the way, so
yeah,
fair play to him.
I think it was MVG's average at the end was 92, I want to say, but I think even in that last set, he kind of bolstered that a little bit. Friday, he was quite poor now. He was very poor. But in fairness to Tatsunami, and MVG said it after, you know, the darts world, in terms of as a global game, like the levels have really stepped up. Like, these guys are serious players now.
Yeah.
They're not coming in to fill the numbers. They're coming in to win matches.
100%. And you're seeing a lot of little surprises at the darts, obviously. A Kenyan winner yesterday and Tatsunami coming close. And just cult heroes being born and lads who are obviously showing a little bit of character and personality with the walk on, but backing it up at the Aki,
that's it, isn't it?
You know,
Sakai was brilliant.
Matomo Sakai, man, I watched his dance on stage four times this morning before he went on air. I was just smiling away to myself at the desk. It's amazing.
But then he goes and blitz him.
Then he's class,
backs
right?
It up, like,
that's the thing about this dart stuff, right? They're all kind of messing, but they're also really serious at the same time. You saw this sight last night of van Gerwen walking off stage furious after losing the first set, and in the background Tatsunami's dancing away. It's only first set.
Love that.
Imagine
love
underdog beating Roger Federer one set up, Central Court Wimbledon, dancing away the side. One set up.
I was watching the Tatsunami MVG match with Aoife and our little daughter, and neither of them had really watched the darts ever before. And the 19-month-old was doing
stop
this.
Stop. Would you go
away? She was watching. She thought it was funny that they were flinging their arm and she was trying to copy them. So she's into the darts. And then Aoife was like, Chase the Sun came on after Tatsunami wins the first set. She was like, getting it. She was like, is it like this all the time? Like, does this happen after every set? And I was like, this happens after every set.
Yeah.
And so she
But
was
it never gets old.
Yeah, it never gets old. It's unbelievable. So yeah, I think the darts every year is gaining new traction and new
fans.
Isn't
it? It is. I kind of am wondering, it's like, when is this thing going to peak? Like, because it just gets better and better each year. So was Young mishandling the next Fallon Sherrick?
Yeah. Protégé there.
Could be. Mm. Prize money's going up and up, so I'll encourage
it. It's handy, isn't it?
Just have to buy the dartboard for her first, yeah.
So we mentioned Sakai winning on his debut too. So today, our buddy Mickey Mansell is in action.
Oh, yeah.
At 20-3 this afternoon. And then we have a few Irish too. 7:10, O'Connor's playing Chuk from Poland. And then the last match today, actually, 10:10, Keane Barry,
friend of the show.
Yeah. A couple of friends of the show.
Another friend of the show. Yeah.
And Willie O'Connor will play MVG, I'm pretty sure, in a second round if he's to progress. So that'll be a huge one.
That'd be class.
But if MVG plays like he did against Tatsunami, Willie O'Connor,
if you're ever going to beat
chance.
Him. You're ever going to beat him.
That's it, boys. That is it. Last night then in the Conference League, so we saw the last of the Irish. Shamrock Rovers won 2-1. Don't know if you saw this game.
3-1 in the end, wasn't it?
Sorry, 3-1, you're right, because they got a goal at the end. They were peppering the goal.
Mm.
So they went 1-1. I thought the penalty was a bit fortuitous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
To get it. And then I thought their sending off was kind of harsh too. I know he went over the top, but he'd done a little Zidane turn and he ran into that part then.
Yeah.
I thought a yellow and a stern word would have sufficed. They went down to 10 men. 3-1 in the end, like you say. So Graham Burke scores his 14th goal in European football. I don't know how Rory Gaffney didn't score in this game. He had some amount of opportunities. but they got the job done, and that is a hell of a lot of money, isn't it?
You enjoyed,
for a win.
Yeah, huge.
$400,000, I think.
Yeah. You enjoyed the indirect free kick, though, perhaps most of
us. We both did, yeah. Class. It was amazing. It was, the pass back was great. Like, it was about 30 yards out, just panicked. It was a great save by the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't see it. And I love they did what you should do in that scenario. It's just trying to blast the ball as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And the boys blocked it. So 3-1 for Rovers. Nice bit of money for them. And another bit of handy coin as well for Shells. They drew again. Now, they've gone through the whole Conference League without scoring a goal. But they've only conceded 7.
Mm.
So if you look at the top of the Conference League, like, that's kind of equatable numbers, but yep, they haven't scored. So they drew 0-0 last night. But now Spiel and goal was very good for Shells. But Meepo created a good chance for himself, 27th minute. And then John Martin was 1-1 again in Europe, was 1-1 in the second half. Mm. Keeper made a good save.
Flashbacks, I'd say.
And then Martin himself found McEnroy, who nearly did something great. While Rory McIlroy,
I was going to say, is that your segue into McIlroy? And I knew it.
Something great. Winning Spotty, Sports Personality of the Year on the BBC. The first man from Ireland.
The island of Ireland.
Yeah. Ireland to win this.
Did we fact check this? Because I just guessed this morning, but have we fact checked this? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll fact check it.
We'll do it live.
Check it away. do you care about this?
I don't care who wins the British Broadcasting Corporation Sports Personality of the Year, but
you're happy for it.
I do pique an interest when there's an Irish winner. It's fascinating, and Rory, I think, fully deserving. Like, the emotion he showed after winning it obviously meant a lot to him, and he referenced being a dad and talking about Poppy, and obviously the two of the fathers of the victims of the horrific Southport attack were there last night and were honoured with an award as well. And Rory referenced that, and you could tell that it hit him really hard, because he got very emotional discussing that particular aspect. But then just going on to talk about his season and how much it all meant to him and his family and all that. And yeah, it was nice for him, and probably caps a lovely, lovely year for him. A year he dreamed about and probably at times felt was never going to happen, but it has happened. And I found it fascinating. I don't know if you feel this as well, that about fatherhood. Rory talked about the fact that the wins feel even better, but the defeats are far easier, because it puts things into perspective a little bit for him, that he's able to just go home and the kids don't care if you've won or lost. Or
yeah, I'm still struggling with that.
What's your equivalent now?
You personally, or you?
Yeah,
you,
I thought I'd have more perspective.
It's okay not
if
to
anything
have
it's harder. Yeah
because you're so busy that having perspective can be quite tough as well.
You
don't have time to have perspective.
Yeah, but that's a good question, is what's our equivalent? Well, I suppose like a bad day at work, I guess.
Yeah,
a good show, bad
yeah
show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know you do definitely forget about it when you see him,
because
there's actually, it's not important, like there's actual people have actual problems out there, so it's not really that important. But no, I did think I'd like care less about bad days, but I don't. They're just, it's even more pronounced though.
Yeah,
I thought I'd have that, like, oh, nothing else ever matters again. No, it's not true. Maybe it's just because it's early days, you know.
I just had the trick where if I have a bad day at work or whatever, I go out to the night sky and look at how infinitely expansive the universe is, and realize that we're floating on a ball of rock through space.
You're not even stoned, like, it's just the normal guy looking up at the sky, like Homer at the end of that episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. So Frank in sales is pissing you off, folks, or you did something silly at the Christmas party. Like, hi, just remember, we're floating on a ball of rock.
Morning, Frank. We love you.
Yeah. No offense to any Franks out there in sales.
So, yeah, you're looking at McCoy back in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Last spotty. So,
fourth Irish winner, right?
Yeah, so you have Cavendish, Wiggins, Murray, Hamilton, Murray again, Farah, Garen Thomas, Ben Stokes, Hamilton, Raducanu, Mead, Earps, Hodgkinson, and then we have Rory, who's also up for the RTE one, so we can get a double header here.
I do think
12 nominations, is it?
Yeah, I think it's 12, as many as 12 nominations.
Mm.
And not that you don't want to, Keith Tracy Friday has just arrived outside.
Yeah.
it's not that no one deserves to be nominated for these awards, but you do, like, what's the point of having 12 nominations?
Too many nominations,
it's
right?
It's way too many.
Yeah.
12.
There's also a bias I find against those athletes born in the north of Ireland. I don't. So it's Mary Peters, Barry McGuigan and Tony McCoy for the quiz anoraks out there were the previous three Irish winners. But he, in 2014, after winning the Open and the PGA, finishes second to Lewis Hamilton. I think there's always a bias towards Lewis Hamilton. I understand that Lewis Hamilton deserves multiple spotties. But having said that, I think there was a little bit of bias towards people from the mainland Britain, let's just call them.
You have an issue with that, do you?
An issue with that. Rory should have won it in 2014 is my point, ultimately. And ultimately, not to sound like Slaven Bilic, I don't care who wins the BBC Sports.
To be honest, I don't care.
Yeah.
So tonight, Dara, one of the games continue for you.
Yeah.
As you're working for Off the Ball at the Aviva, Leinster against Ulster in the URC.
Yeah.
Your dream come true here.
It's my favourite fixture every year, actually. Because you have a decent record over the last 5-10 years.
Not bad at all. Ulster team is looking decent. Angus Bell making his first start. Trent McCluskey's back.
He is, in a 12. I am slightly disappointed that Zach Ward's not playing, because this is somewhat of an audition, I would say, for the Six Nations for some of these players in terms of, you know, that Munster game in Croke Park where Tom Farr went out and proved himself, got into an Irish squad off the back of it. I think this is very much the same thing, because Leinster have put out a pretty strong squad, particularly the bench is very strong. But overall, very strong team. Werner Koch is on that wing where Zach Ward would be, but he's been unbelievable this season. Class. I am excited.
What is Jack Murphy's graph?
Where does he sit?
Yeah, well, he's 21. Obviously, like, the hope is to get into an Ireland A squad and then maybe push for an extended squad at some point. But what? But like, how long is that going to take? Because there's a bit of a queue.
Yeah, he's already in an Ireland A squad recently. As far as maybe starting a game for that type of team, I don't know. Like, it's... Cause you've Harry Byrne now as well in that conversation. So it's been the three over the last year and a half of Crowley, Prendergast, Frawley. Now Harry Byrne's put in that situation, and there's talks of Joey Carby coming back to Ireland now. Next year, maybe to Connacht. So Jack Murphy, in great form, obviously, still quite young, the youngest of all of them.
Yep.
You know, I think it does help that his dad is a head coach within Irish rugby, and of his own province, but I don't think he's going to get a start in the Six Nations anytime soon. But it would be nice to see him get an Autumn International or in this new format coming next year, the World Series, maybe get a game in there. It's tough to say, though.
There's
so much talent.
It's a big test for him.
It depends what happens.
So McCluskey starts, as does Jacob Stockdale.
Mm.
And if the rugby doesn't turn out well for him, don't worry, he might have a career in comedy. Take a look at this.
Mm.
We have an Ulster rugby video coming here. Rugby. Don't worry, it'll be worth the wait.
Jacob!
Who is it?
It's Carl Singers. Don't worry about it, big man.
Tell him to go away.
So good.
That's quality, isn't it?
It's classic.
His comedic timing is actually brilliant.
I hope you're able to actually see his face there properly, because it's all about his facial expressions.
I always thought it would be awkward if the person back in the house going, "Who is it?" knew someone called Carol Singers. Who is it? It's Carol Singers. And then
leads to utter
confusion. But it's a great scene from a great movie that Cullum hasn't seen, by the way. Cullum has not seen.
Oh, he's thrown him under the bus there.
Did you say this in the
show? Yeah, I told you that in confidence. I know the gist. Your man was right, bastard.
What do you mean you know the gist?
He's watched it on TikTok type of thing. He's watched it online.
No, I haven't. I've been told about it by everyone in my life. Everyone at this time of year. I know your man. Your man's a bastard. Like, isn't he? He's supposed to be romantic, but he's like destroying someone's life.
He's homewrecking.
And Alan Rickman, you know, for the second time of a Christmas, was a bastard.
Yep, cheating. Not to spoil the movie for anyone.
The statute of limitations would expire after, I would say, 20 years of a movie.
I think it came out in 2003, was it?
I'd say you're good to go.
I'm going to say
you're good to go.
That sounds correct.
I staunchly say stubborn, not watching it.
There's a whack of Hugh Grant off Cullen Buick.
2003.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Isn't
that a lovely thing to say?
That's so nice, man.
Yeah.
I love that now. I'm going to update my LinkedIn there. I have a question for you, which is very pertinent to some people. Is Die Hard a Christmas film? So I was chatting with Kev Kilbane the other day, and we're supposed to be reviewing the year in sport, but we actually ended up spending about 10 minutes having a fierce debate about whether it's a Christmas movie or not. And Sky have actually done a survey, and it just favours people thinking it's not a Christmas movie.
I can't understand that.
What are you on about?
Yeah.
What are you on about?
It clearly is a Christmas movie.
The whole thing is Christmas. The reason he's there is Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's estranged from the wife, comes over, it's Christmas. Now what the hell are they doing having a Christmas party on Christmas Eve at night in Nakatomi Plaza?
That's a fair point.
He's wearing this hat.
He's wearing this hat.
That very hat, yeah.
Now he can't say that hands if not the season. And what, so people think because people are being killed, but people are being killed in a humorous way.
Everyone's having
a bit of fun.
It's a bit of crack.
Queeving Kelleher's in it. Do you know, there's loads of things to wrap your head around that's very Christmassy and festive about it. But people think it's not a Christmas movie. I actually got into a buddy of mine, was being into his films today, and he was like, yeah, it's not a Christmas movie. It's set, the prop is Christmas, but the plot isn't. And so therefore he will watch Die Hard all year round. That's the thing, I would never watch Die Hard in July. I'll only watch it this time of year.
Point. Does the plot have to be Christmas? I don't think the plot has to be Christmas.
It has to be a part of it. Doesn't have to be Christmas. Doesn't have to be Elf.
No, I think
it has to be mentioned within the plot and actually matter in some way. We were saying pre-show, Love, Rosie. You familiar?
Never seen it.
Bit of a rom-com.
Don't even know if I've heard of it.
Is that the one with horrendous Irish accent?
Sam Cleflin in it. No. It's actually based in Dublin, but they play it off as if it is London for some reason. Oh, I don't know why they didn't just do it in London. But very much based around winter and Christmas, but doesn't mention Christmas at any point, so I don't think it's a Christmas movie, even though it looks quite Christmassy.
32% Rotten Tomatoes, 1 out of 5 from the Irish.
That's very harsh, actually.
That's 7.1
on IMDb. It's a great film.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.